The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Everybody's just checked out of the 49ers.
I'm going to tell you why. Because we're emotionally drained by the Niners. And it's not that we don't love them. We clearly love them. But it's been a draining, you know, 8, 9, 10 months. It just has. Like, since the Super Bowl loss, the way that thing went down, a couple weeks later, you get all the NFL Films audio. You know, just the rules, the listening to the Chiefs talk about how foolish we were to take the ball first. And, you know, it's like twisting the knife. And then you have the whole Ayuk saga. You got the CMC saga. You've got Trent Williams. You've got some horrific, some horrific things that have happened to some families that are associated with the team. You've got stuff going on that are out of the control. You got the Ricky Pearsall situation. You've got Debo, you know, doing podcasts that are upsetting people, and then he's not performing, and he's not talking to the media, and then you have a certain segment of fans that are upset about that. You know, not a lot has gone right. And so I think there was so much expectations and so much optimism and so much hope. There's only so much of knocking on the door and having the door slammed on your face a fan base can take before they're just mentally drained. You know, there's things that happen, you know, in my life that where I've like, I felt like, I need a break. Like I'm about to have like a mental breakdown on certain things. And I feel like kind of that's where, and it's sports, it's not real life, but I feel like that's where I think psychologically a lot of Niner fans are like, we still love this team and we want them to still win and all that stuff. But simultaneously, we are exhausted. This team is exhausted. And we put a lot of our emotional investment into them being the team that could get us over the top right now. And it's not going to happen. And that's demoralizing.
Yeah, it's been like that all season. It's really surprising that mentally a lot of people couldn't pick themselves up off the mat from that Super Bowl loss. And it's the energy with the fan, like, forget the team for a second, the fan base. And I've been kind of bringing this up all season long. Like, I'm like, man, the energy's just been off at the games, the lack of noise. Just the anticipation of a football game, the tailgates. I guess the tailgates have been fun. I've been walking through them, and they've still been hitting them. But not on the level that they did last season or the season before. It's just been shocking to me. Like, we're at the point where people are asking Shanahan. Think about this. We're at the point of the season where they're 5-7, and maybe they don't go to the playoffs. Maybe they make a run. Who the hell knows? Only God knows, according to Shanahan. But he's being asked.
Oh, my God.
He's being asked questions. Why he answers questions the way he does.
Wait, what?
Yes, this is crazy.
Wait, he's being asked a question about why he answers certain questions the way that he does.
Exactly.
Wow, who asked that?
I don't know. That's just how I am. I answer questions. I'm not a good, I don't make stuff up. So I try to answer you guys' questions, especially if it's not a stupid question. sometimes I struggle with ones that I don't understand. Forgive me if I think they're stupid, they might not be. I just don't understand them all, but that's how I do press conferences. I answer the questions. So I always try to do that without hurting our own team. And that's really about as simple as I keep it. But no, I don't take losing well. But I'm not showing you guys how I deal with my life in these 8 great minutes.
I want to know who asked that question, because that's at the point of the season we're at where we got the head coach answering questions on why he answers questions the way he does.
The only
so strange.
The only way you could follow that up with more twisting of the knife, Bonte, is if you went in there and asked him a question about the stadium.
I mean, I'm not God.
You know, it's losing's hard. It's hard for everyone. And, you know, there's a way, obviously, to deal with losing. And everyone wants you to be sportsmanlike and classy and blah, blah. But it wears on you, right? Especially when you have tremendous expectations. And coaches know how good their team is. Or at least they think they have a feel for how good their team is. Are you surprised at times? Sure. Absolutely, you get surprised. I think Ron Adams talked about that with that 2022 thing. Like, we were a little early. We actually thought it was going to be the next year that we were going to win it all. And so you do get surprised. But I think this year, I think he really thought genuinely he had a really good team. And I think we all thought that they had a really good team. And they really haven't played like it. And then the unfortunate fact of all the injuries and everything, now you are a different team. Yeah. You're a roster that's just not that great right now, considering all of the absences. And I don't know, man.
925, Butcher Boy hit the nail on the head. Die hard Niner fan, but I am exhausted and tuned out for my own mental health. I'm like, damn. It feels like the Niner fan base is, by the way, line them up. 888-957-9570 is the number. Shameless shout outs. I want to get to it here because there's a lot to shout out. Shout out to SI. Shout out to De La Salle. I want you guys to win a state championship, man. Balboa High School, who won Turkey Day. Shout out to Balboa. Sorry, Coach Ferrigno. Lincoln comes up short this Turkey Day. Balboa with the best team in the AAA this year. They're going to be playing for a state championship in a couple weeks, so shout out to them as well. But just the emotional exhaustion, like there's been some good games this year. There's been some good quarterbacks coming into town. Like, I want to see how Garrido ends the season. I want to see if Malik Mustafa can be that strong safety for the 49ers in the future. There's a lot to play for here for these players. And I think there's a lot for the fan base to check out to see what are they missing going into next season if they don't make the playoffs? How can you reinvent yourself if you're Kyle Shanahan? Watch Steve Kirk kind of, hey, you know what? We got Jonathan Kuminga here. Maybe this is a new wrinkle I can use late in the games. What's Shanahan going to do to kind of evolve himself here? That's why I think these last five games are important. Whether they win or lose, we don't know, but they are very important football games for the psyche of the fan base, for the psyche of those players, and who can come in 2025 and contribute at a high level to the 49ers. So, I am a little stunned, though, at how exhausted the fan base has been this season.
I'm not. These losses wear on you, man. They do. And I think when you lose in dramatic fashion the way that they have the last couple of years, it's taxing. I think it's really taxing for the soul. And you start questioning everything. And it's very frustrating. And simultaneously, when you see one team, the Chiefs, just be able to pull it off. It feels like every single week, like they're pulling a rabbit out of their hat. It's tough to accept. Yeah. I think it's really hard to accept. You know, like I feel like the Niners right now are in a zone similar to the pre-World Series Giants, where it feels like they're just destined to be bridesmaids, and they can't get out of their own way. And I'm not saying they're cursed. I don't necessarily believe in curses, but it does feel like they're their own worst enemy, and then things happen that are out of their control, and when the ball starts rolling downhill against them, they can't get up off the mat.
It's been a lost year, man. It's been a lost year. There's no doubt about it. But does anybody have any emotion for this game on Sunday? Does anybody care if they lose? Like, that's my thing. Maybe there's a lot of Niner fans who just want them to lose to get a higher draft pick.
I want Brock to play well. I don't really want him playing like lackluster these last couple of games going into the offseason. Like, number one, is he healthy, right? That's number one. Number two, like, play well. I want him to play well. Like, show some pride on the way out the door. Do I love draft position? Yes. Do I want a better draft pick? Yeah, I do. But at the same time, I think you still battle for a playoff spot. Show some pride. There is something to be said for the Mike Tomlin, I've never had an under 500 season record. Yep. Like, there is something to be said there. Not losing the locker room and guys playing hard. I thought they played hard in this last game. I just didn't think they played well enough. Yeah. So I want to see the team continue to play hard. One of my favorite wins of the Shanahan era is going to be one that no one remembers. Nick Mullins in the rain, overtime at Levi's against the Seahawks, 2018. And people lost their minds that they would sacrifice draft position for winning that game. And I'll never forget feeling the crowd as we were leaving Levi's Stadium in the rain and finally beating Russell Wilson. And there was something to be said for that group of guys fighting and battling to the end. And it worked out that they still got the number two pick and they nailed it and they got Nick Bosa and it all worked out. But that was one of my favorite wins no one will ever talk about. And that was in a lost season where nothing was going well. Your quarterback got hurt and you finally beat a division rival. You didn't lose faith from the locker room. I know that sounds obscure, but like,
no,
I think there's something to be said.
I remember
there
covering a game and I remember talking about getting a win for the culture because this, the previous four seasons, all they did was a bunch of losing. And that year, coming off of the first year Kyle Shanahan, where they did win five in a row down the stretch, you're like, oh my gosh, there's some hope. By year, and this is where Shanahan, nobody ever brings this up, too. That Seattle game, you're right. I remember being at that game and wanting that win because of all the things you said. Plus, I thought it was going to be a good springboard for the offseason for guys like DeForest Buckner and Eric Garf said, all right, we got something here. We just had some injuries here. Let's regroup. Let's get a number two overall pick. Let's bring in Nick Bosa and let's make a run. And they made a run in 2019 that ended in Miami in the Super Bowl. But I also thought Shanahan, his first year, think about what he did. All right, they start off 0-9. They make the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. They beat, who did they beat on Monday? They beat the New York Giants to get their first win of the season. Marquise Goodwin had that long touchdown on a very emotional day. And then Jimmy comes in, and they win five in a row. And what Shanahan was able to do, Shanahan and Lynch, for that matter, was by year two of their regime, they were selling hope. We were hopeful that, boy, times are going to be changing around here. Boy, hope that the Niners are going to be good sooner rather than later. Hope that, you know what, we can sneak into the playoffs with this quarterback number 10, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's the highest paid quarterback at the time. Hope. And obviously Jimmy gets hurt in week three, but the fact that they were able to sell hope by year two, I think gets lost in the shuffle as well as that Seattle game. And that Seattle game, that win that year in the rain was a reminder of saying, you know what, you got the right coach. You have the right GM. Now, can you just stay healthy? And they've been able to stay healthy for the most part for the last 5 years. This year they haven't. A lot of things off the field happening with this team. A lot of things on the field happening with this team. And it's just a lost year. There's no doubt about it. But do I have faith that Shanahan and Purdy, with them at the helm, leading the charge, can get back to the mountaintop or at least compete for a spot in the mountaintop? Absolutely, I do believe they can do that with a quick turnaround in the offseason. So a lot of things have to happen here. A lot of movement with players and cap maneuvering. But Shanahan and Purdy, the Niners have the right people at the top. They do. I know there's been a lot of talk about firing Shanahan, but they have the right people there at the top. And so that's why I'm not mentally exhausted. Well, that's why I'm thinking about myself, boy, I'm a little more optimistic today about the 49ers, even though they're 5-7, because I know they have some really good parts moving forward.
It just sucks to see the Detroit Lions, you know, win a game like they did last night and just see the division, you know, the way it is right now. Because it's not like Seattle's a juggernaut. It's not like Arizona's a juggernaut. Like, we're this bad. We're the worst team in the division. The byproduct is, though, next year we'll get a last place schedule. So that it's not the worst thing in the world. But it's a tough one because it'd be one thing if Detroit was in your division and Minnesota was in your division. And it's like, hey, you know, those teams are just, they're just better than you right now. But like, oh God, Seattle's not that good.
No,
like,
Seattle's,
it's year
not
one of that coach.
Yeah, but Seattle's not better than you. You know, I don't believe the Rams are better than the Niners. I don't believe the Cardinals are better than the Niners. Niners blew these games. Now, they want them, and the record is what the record is. But I think the Niners can reclaim this division with a quick offseason, just reinvent themselves, evolve a little bit, and I think the fan base will be back home. Maybe the fan base needs a down year. Just kind of take a break, watch the playoffs, have a longer offseason, and get that hope again for having a top 10 pick. But then again, I see a lot of things where, oh, man, this team can't draft in the first round. They've had some really good drafts. I get it.
Well,
all right, 88.95, go ahead.
Just a random thought, just something to bookmark for later. Now that there is this whole scenario of, you know, the plausible trade of Kyle Shanahan, never fire him. If you are done with him, get a draft pick.
Yeah, draft pick.
I don't want to, but I'm just saying, now that that's even floated out there, if you have a coach that's desired by anyone, don't ever fire him. Trade him.
It's, you know what's wild as we get to shameless shout-outs in just a second is that other fan bases are like, we'll take Kyle Shanahan in a heartbeat. And this fan base is like, yeah, you can have him for the most part from what I've heard this season. I think there's a lot of people who don't call and text or don't spend their time online. They're like, no, we have the right coach in Kyle Shanahan. But there's a lot. That noise is getting louder and louder about Kyle Shanahan moving on here to the point where he's getting questions about the way he answers questions, which is wild to me.
I mean, we're all spoiled to a degree, especially Niner fans. Like, we
spoiled off of what? We
think that Super Bowls are birthright.
Yeah, well, I haven't won a Super Bowl since 1994.
I agree with you. I'm saying there's this entitlement that they think that they're owed a Super Bowl.
Especially for the under 30 crowd, which has never seen a Super Bowl win.
Maybe they're just more hungry.
You said entitled. Maybe they're hungry, entitled. I don't know why they'd be entitled. Anyway,